Blog Talk Radio.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
At my lowest.
You
cannot imagine
the strongholds and the walls that are there.
But God has been faithful.
God has been faithful to me.
He promised.
He promised he would never leave me.
Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Jesus the Only Way radio blog. My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To all those out there listening, let's give God some praise. He is worthy. God
Thank
Almighty,
you.
He is worthy. Glory. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Today, I am excited, and I know all of you will be blessed. We have Sister Marina Smith, and she will be sharing her testimony. But before we get started, Sister Beverly, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Okay, thank you. Amen. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we come before your precious throne of grace once again today. And as always, we're thankful, Father God, when anybody in the body of Christ, Father God, can stand up, Father God, and do that which you have placed on their hearts to do. Father, we pray for the speaker today, Father God, that everything you have put down in her heart, Father God, that you would just help her by the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver it out, Father God, in the way in which you want it to come out, oh Father. And I pray for all of us, Father God, who will ever hear this message, whether we're hearing it live right now or others will hear it, Father God, later by way of recording. I just pray, Father God, that it will touch each person in the way in which you designed it to before the foundation of this earth. So now, Father, we thank you. We give way to you, Father God. We open up our ears and our hearts to hear what thus saith the Lord through the precious vessel that you send us this day. We thank you, and we give praise to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Marina, you can go ahead and start.
Oh, this is such an honor. I have to say, I have to give honor to God, and on, you know, I'm honored to be on this show. You know, my mind is a little heavy this morning, but you know, I know my Father will carry me through and get me through this message. You know, I'm here today before you to share a little bit of my experience through my life, and I have to combine and say that I'm grateful today. I am 12 years clean, and I am
Amen.
4 years free of a domestic violence situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by the grace of God that I'm here before you to share my my testimony with you. You know, and I have to start by saying at the age of 19 years old, I got involved into a lifestyle that took me to places that I no woman should ever have to experience in her life. You know, I got introduced to the drug life, and in getting introduced to the drug life, I experienced being physically, emotionally, and verbally abused, you know, and I spent 19 years using and self-medicating, so I didn't have to deal with how I felt about the situations I was in, the lifestyle that I lived, the feeling unworthy and not good enough, you know, to live a better life. And by the grace of God, life changed. You know, 12 years ago, I prayed to God and I asked Him to please help me. You know, and I got help and I got clean. Never looked back. Never picked up another substance. You know, and I'm here before you today, being able to share that I am a survivor today of domestic violence. You know, and I spent many, many years being abused, and I always felt like it was my fault. You know, I felt like I said the wrong thing, I did the wrong thing, I dressed the wrong way. You know, I felt like I wasn't allowed to voice my opinion and my feelings, that I needed to stay quiet at all times until I was spoken to. The men that I dealt with, I felt like I was not to walk beside them, I was to walk behind them. I felt like I was their property, and that I had no choice in life but to do what they said that I needed to do. And it took a long time, you know, it took a toll on me. It took me to places of wishing that God would just put me to sleep and never wake me up again. It took me to places of trying to cause harm to myself. It took me to places of not wanting to come outside due to shame, fear, and guilt. You know, I felt like people knew that I was being abused, and there were times that I had bruises and scratches and black eyes and, you know, hair pulled, you know, whole spots in my head where hair was pulling out of my head, and, you know, and I couldn't go out in the public's eyes because I knew I didn't want anybody to know what was going on with me, you know. And this last relationship that I was in before I got reunited with my childhood sweetheart, he was abusing me in the public. We worked together, and he would do everything he could to black my eye, and, you know, I wouldn't see him coming, and next thing I knew, I was on the ground. You know, I would be asleep at night, and I'd wake up to him with a pillow over my face. You know, and those days, you know, I couldn't get enough courage. You know, at that time, I didn't, you know, and as much as I hate to say this, I had no relationship with God. You know, I was afraid to have that relationship. I didn't feel like I was good enough to have that relationship with God. And, you know, I knew through a kid going to church that God would carry me through. Myself, I didn't believe that God loved me enough to save me, you know. And I stayed in this relationship. I didn't, you know, I'm a mother of three children, and I didn't believe, and I'm heavy set, and this man put it in my head that nobody would ever want a woman like me, you know. And so the self worth was gone. I couldn't even fathom the thought of somebody even loving me.
Wow.
You know, so I stayed in this relationship until one day it got to the point where I looked in the mirror and I cried, and I said, God, I know you have to love me. I know you have to love me. You know, I'm your child, and I'm asking you for help. And and days went by, and this man walked into the house and had a bad day at work and punched me in the face. Mm. And all I saw was blood, you know. And at that time, I had 8 years clean, and I said in a quick prayer, God, I didn't get clean and change my way of life to continue to be abused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I need to be free from this. I need freedom so I can continue living on. Or let me pass. Let me go home. Let me, you know, let me go ahead and close my eyes, you know. And a few days went by, and again he came in and accused me of looking at another man at work and grabbed me by my hair and drug me from the kitchen into the garage and proceeded to beat up on me. And I somehow, and it wasn't, the decision that I made at that point in time wasn't a right decision, but I, something gave me enough strength to get up on my feet and fight back for the first time in my life, mm-hmm. you know, and I fought back, and, you know, and again, I have to say fighting back might not have been the right choice, but at that time it felt like it was right, and I fought back. And I picked up everything I could pick up in this garage, and I hit him with it. And I told him to get out of my life, you know. And and he left, you know. And I have to share, my children watched this. My children watched me go through all these years of abuse. And I have a 25-year-old mentally challenged son that believes hitting a woman is okay.
Oh my God!
You know, and I try not to become emotional about it, but
okay.
I try to teach him that hitting women is not okay, mm-hmm. hitting people is not okay.
Amen.
You know, and it's hard for him to understand because he grew up watching this throughout the decisions that I made with different men. You know, in this last relationship, you know, my youngest daughter, she got fed up, and she was 19 years old, and once she came running out of the house, and I was throwing things and hitting him with things, and my daughter jumped on his back and told him, "You need to leave my mama alone before you kill her, and stay out of our life because we don't care for you. We don't want you in her life anymore because all you do is hurt my mom."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, by the grace of God, that man, you know, he left my home. He gave me a hard time for almost a year. He stalked me. He made phone calls to my phone. If I'd go to my P.O. box, he'd see me at the P.O. box, and he'd jump on me out in public. And it took a year for him to finally realize that I was done, you know, and he finally stopped, you know. And I need to back up with this story. I went through court. I tried filing a restraining order. In return, he filed a restraining order against me, and he used that restraining order as a control mechanism to get his way with me. So I spent 3 years on a restraining order, and I had to abide by what he wanted from me.
Yep.
You know, and if I didn't abide by allowing him to come into my home, or submitting to him sexually, or doing what he says I had to do, he'd call the police on me and tell the police I violated the restraining order. You know, and I had to battle with the police, and I had to battle with this man as far as this restraining order. And, you know, the police say that the protective orders are the way to go. And, yes, I believe that they can help. But due to the fear that women carry, they don't always work. They always submit to that man, you know. And there's ways around those restraining orders where they're used as weapons towards the victim, you know. And once the restraining order expired, that's when I finally, you know, I finally start receiving the courage to say, you know, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore, you know. And it took this year, it took this last year for me to say, okay, Marina, you're good enough. And 6-7 months after he and I broke up, you know, I'm a student at a Solano Community College, and 6 months after he broke up, a close friend of mine from elementary school got in contact with me, and she suggested that I search through her friends list on Facebook and see if I saw anybody you know, from our childhood, and I did, and it was my childhood sweetheart. And I didn't expect him to get in contact with me. I just said hello, you know. And I was saying hello to a lot of friends, letting them, you know, trying to come out of that shell, trying to come out of the isolation, you know, looking for people that I knew were friends back when we were school, you know, school grade kids, and hoping that I could find positive people to be around, you know. And one morning I woke up and I was getting ready for school, and it was my childhood sweetheart. He had sent me a message, and he was excited about finding me, and we wound up getting connected. And I, at 7 months out of this horrible 7-year relationship, I had no plans on getting involved in a relationship. I knew through some work that I had been doing through my 12-step program that I didn't want to reach out for somebody else to fill a void. So I hadn't planned on getting involved in a relationship. And he and I, we went out for the first, he took me out for my first date. And at this time I was 47 years old. And I had never been on a date before. And he took me out on my first date. And then after the first date, there was a 2-week span where we hadn't seen or talked to each other. And and then wound up October 9th, we had gotten back in contact with each other, and November of 2012, he proposed to me. And I was scared to death. I was scared because I didn't believe that I was worthy enough for somebody to love me. You know, I knew that there was some baggage, you know, behind me, that there were fears and insecurities and, you know, self-esteem issues and depression and all kinds of things that I was battling with. And I just asked God, please show me a way. Just show me the way and show me how to love me before I can try to reach out and love somebody else. You know, and this man was persistent, and I shared with him, you know, a little bit about my past, and he was persistent on being with me. And he said to me one day, you know, I'm not trying to disregard your past, but if I would have been in your life all these years, I could have protected you from all that you have gone through. And that touched my heart, you know, to have a man step into my life that would say something like that. If I could have protected you from all of that, he would have, you know. And to find out that he is a member of a church, you know, and he's a church-going man. And, you know, I took a chance, and I allowed my heart to open up, you know. And he said to me on November of 2012, he said, I need you to give me 1 year and we'll get married. And after he said that, that fear of not being good enough took place. And you know, I thought about the abuse, and I called myself a wreck. I called myself not good enough. I said to myself, "Oh, he's just proposing to make it sound good." You know, I had so much doubt, and there was so much fear. And I, you know, as time passed, he was like, "Are you gonna prepare for the wedding?" And I'm like, "I don't know anything about preparing for a wedding. I've never been married." And I cried, and my daughter, my youngest daughter, who's now 23, stepped up and said, "Mom, we will get you through this. We'll plan a wedding." And a wonderful young lady stepped into my life, and she was a victim of abuse and rape. And somehow God opened my heart to talk to her. And at that point, I realized I wasn't a victim anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm a survivor.
Amen.
Right? And I shared with her, you know, you can't live a life of being a victim. And those words that I was sharing with her were words that I was absorbing for myself, you know, and I share, you know, she felt as if she was a victim and she was, you know, not worthy as well. And I encouraged her to know that she was worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy to be loved, and God loves you, and you need to pray and learn how, learn the word as I learned the word as well, you know, and this wonderful lady, she looked at me and she said to me, she loved me with all her heart. She never expected to meet anybody to encourage her the way I had, and my gift from her was my wedding gown. Mm-hmm. And you know, that touched my heart because I had never had anybody love me enough to give me such a beautiful gift. Mm-hmm. You know, and I wound up August, I hadn't gotten everything together for the wedding, and August 4th, my husband said to me, well, at that time he was my fiance, he said, you really need to get on the ball. The wedding is in November. So we had to plan for a wedding August, September, October, November. In 3 months, we had to plan for a wedding, and it wound up to be the most beautiful experience of my life, you know, and I am happily married. I have to say, you know, as a couple getting back together after 30 plus years, though, it had been a challenge. We had to see what each other would allow each other to do, you know, as far as, you know, we were challenging each other to see how far we could go with certain situations, and we had to learn how to set boundaries, you know, and through our relationship, by the grace of God, we were introduced to a pastor of a church who has counseled us through our marriage in the last couple of months, and our life has changed tremendously. And you know, I still to this day, I have to say, through the domestic violence, you know, being a survivor of domestic violence, it's an ongoing battle. I have to always tell myself I am worth better. I'm worth where I'm at today. You know, because there's times where depression might kick in and I have to ask God to help carry me through this. There's times that my self-esteem kicks in and I don't feel like I'm worthy enough for my husband. You know, and that's not the case. You know, I'm still healing. You know, my husband loves me enough to guide me through it, and I have an amazing pastor that counsels us, and we've made some amazing changes in our life, you know. And I have to say, you know, through all my experience in life, I knew that there was a God. I knew that God, you know, I went to church as a young girl. I'd sung in the choir as a young girl, and I just strayed from church. You know, since then, I've found my way back. I'm in the process of learning the word. I go to church on Sundays, and my husband and I are going to start a weekly Bible study. So I said that to say that life does change. And being a you don't have to be a victim for the rest of your life. You know, you can be a survivor.
Listen to the message for today.
Okay, I'm gonna hang up. Okay, so I called to see what the deal was with the life jacket.
So that's all I have to say.
It's under 36 inches, I guess.
Thank you for having me share my experience, strength, and hope with you.
Hello. I hear background noise, but I can't figure out where it's coming from. But anyway, does anyone have any questions or comments that you would like to share to Sister Marina?
Hang on a minute.
Does anyone have any questions or comments?
I guess I'll make a comment, Sister P.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God's spirit never leads a person to be out of control, because he's the author of peace and not of disorder. Mm-hmm. And all who that assemble under his grace are concentrated. And the proof of it is that when you accept and believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he died and gave his life.
Okay.
Not so much he died and gave his life, but he rose from the grave. So the bitterness and envy that dominates our minds and many people in today's world are led away from sound mindedness. And what I mean by that, we are free in Christ for what he did for us, but sometimes we are kept captive by our thoughts and our ways of the past. And sometimes we have to shut that door from the past and let the peace of God and the Holy Spirit be our guide. And when they say that, when we are hooked up with unequally yoked, a lot of times that caused the problem, but at a particular time we don't know we are unequally yoked. But the example of that is an oxen and a mule trying to pull a plow, and both of them have a stubborn attitude at times. So when we pray and ask God and we meditate on his word and we serve him, he will erase all these thoughts of the past and actions of the past. And when we continue to humble ourselves, we get to be deeply aware that who he is and what he is and what he is to us.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Beverly.
I'd just like to make a comment to Sister Marina. As I was listening to your testimony, and I praise God to have been able to have heard it today, the thing that crossed my mind was how God is always, always in the midst of the mess that we find ourselves in, so that it will benefit someone. And so as you spoke about the young lady that you were speaking to, I go, I had that aha moment. Okay, this is how one of the ways in which he's using such a bad experience that you had to go through, but yet you could relate to what that young lady was talking about, and you were able to speak words of hope and life into her. So he's always coming into the midst of that which is so messed up, looking on that outside and working it out for some type of good. And so, it breaks my heart that you had to go through all that you went through, but God has truly brought you out, brought you to this point where you're able to be on this radio blog today and to speak from your heart. And I'm sure that a lot of people that will hear this blog that's gone through similar situations like yours will be much encouraged. So God bless you, and thank you so much for sharing that today.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Sister Andrea?
Yes, ma'am. I can partially relate to your testimony, although it was a short time that I had been under that violent umbrella of domestic violence. I come to find out that the man that I married had issues from way back that I never knew about, and he kept his life inside of a briefcase that was always locked. It wasn't 3 months that the first time occurred, and I immediately had him locked up. The second time he got out, maybe a month, everything was okay, and he would do it again. And the second time I broke into the suitcase, and I knew that I was going to have to start making plans for me and my six-year-old son to get him out of there, because I wasn't going to leave my house, but he was going to leave my house. And every night, especially during the time that I had gotten pregnant, which it was not by mutual consent, it was, in fact, the most horrible night of my life. I started reading in Psalms 91, and I would read it out loud, and I would stash money in a cut opening I had made in the crib. I took care of things I thought we were going to need, and finally he was removed from the home, but he came back after the baby was born, and he kidnapped me. It was about 12 hours we were held detained in that back room, and he just kept the baby out there with him until he needed to be changed or nursed, and then he would come and snatch him back, and I was bruised from one end to the other. My family finally came in, but I just want to say, during those times, I was content in my spirit because God had told me that this season was not going to last long. And I kind of knew, you know, that whatever was going on, it was going to reveal his glory in the end, and it did, because I was able to get involved with some women who were in some domestic violence situations downtown at the courthouse and serve as like an advocate and help them get jobs and help them get, help them get jobs and, you know, help pay for electricity. So I was able to branch and go out in a whole lot of other areas and be of service to other people. And so that's what God's going to have you do in your story. You have to tell it and tell it as often as you possibly can, because
yes,
there's always someone sitting around you that is going through some type of domestic violence. And all women, you know, a lot of women, I would say like 85% of them have your story where you didn't, you know, you thought it was you. You thought that you were doing something wrong. You know, you didn't know if there was a word or your tone of voice or you cook rice instead of mashed potatoes. You didn't know what direction he was going to flip off. And so during those times, you know, you're tense and it can become very emotional because you're not sure how to handle, you know, what he's getting ready to throw at you. But knowing that and knowing that you didn't have an inkling about, you know, the problem was really his and not yours, it's something that, you know, you may carry for a while, but you're going to have to learn and understand that what he was taking you through, none of it was his fault. And all those self-esteem issues that you thought about you, you can throw them back on that man, because that's what he suffered from. And a lot of the reasons that they get angry and violent is because of their own insecurities and their own fears, and sometimes it's psychological. You know, but whatever it is, it's nothing that you have done. It could never be anything. You could be absolutely perfect, and nothing would have helped him but Jesus. Mm-hmm. Nothing but Jesus. And they have to receive Jesus in order to receive that help. My ex-husband used to go to church all the time. He stayed in the church.
Amen.
If we went, but it healed him for a minute. So, you know, your story, wonderful. Magnify the Lord's name and tell that story everywhere you go. Tell it in the grocery stores. There's somebody that needs to know that that's not what life is all about. You know, love shouldn't hurt. It really shouldn't.
Yeah.
I know we're on time, sis.
I am a survivor of domestic violence, and I certainly can relate to everything that you have spoken, the restraining orders, the abuse by many men, not just one man, and being felt unworthy, unloved, all of that. And it is by the grace of God that I can speak today that I am worthy, that I am loved, that God loves me. And I can see that it was never me. It was them. And the hardest part is the forgiving of those that have done wrong by you.
Yeah.
That is the hardest one to forgive. And once I was able to forgive and to heal, then I was free. And I just thank you again for sharing your story, because each and every time you share your story, you will empower those that have been in that situation. You will empower them. And I'm just thank you that you came on today and shared your story. Okay, we have kind of like run out of time, but Sister Beverly, would you like to close in prayer?
Amen, I sure would. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, as we come to a close of another radio blog, we do praise and we thank you so much for the message that went through today. Father, we pray that you would use this message in a mighty way, and that you would bless and touch women, even men that might need to hear a story like this, oh, Father God. And so we're just praying that lives will be changed, Father God. And we pray that you would continue to use this woman of God and so many others, Father God, that have gone through life situations, that you would use their stories, oh, Father God, and that you would use them to tell how you, Father God, saw them through. So we thank you once again for this opportunity, this format to come forth with words like this, oh, Father God. And we just praise and we thank you for how you are always moving in the midst of that which seems so horrible and yet taking and turning it around to be a blessing to people and to strengthen people, Father God, in this walk. We give your name all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name we do pray today. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Marina. Thank you guys
all
for joining in today.
Mm-hmm.
And with
thank you,
that,
sis.
I say good night. God
good
bless
night.
You. And you guys have a good evening.
You too.
You too.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.